Now, Sancho, when he died in 1035, divided his realm between his two sons. This laid the foundations, the remote foundations, but nevertheless laid the foundations for the emergence of two fairly substantial kingdoms inside Iberia. One of these, Aragon, along the Mediterranean coast, the other, Castile, in the central uplands of the peninsula. Castile led the Reconquista. Castile became the great driving force in the Reconquest. And in the year 1085, Castilian forces took the city of Toledo. This was a great moral victory. It was actually an important military victory along the stage to eventual reconquest, but it was also a great moral victory. It was the first really big victory won by the Iberian powers. Now, military success in this period was advanced by such characters as the famous Rodrigo Diaz de Vivar, known in fact and in legend as El Cid, from the Arabic El Said, the Lord, the Master. He was a kind of an interesting character. He took money from all parties and from all powers and fought on various sides at various times. But it was important that in the last years of the 11th century, he was really fighting for the Christians and therefore was very helpful in expanding the reconquest. Now, Christian successes across the 11th century and just into the early years of the 12th led to the Muslim powers in Spain calling in reinforcements from North Africa. Reinforcements did indeed appear on the scene, and the reconquest was halted for a time. Though in 1139, in a somewhat unexpected development, a crusading army that was on its way by ship to the Holy Land, having left from north ports in the British in the English Channel, landed along the western coast of Iberia near what is now Lisbon, and they opened a new front in the reconquest. So these crusaders were actually meant to be going to the Holy Land, and they stopped off for a while for a bit of warfare in Spain. So what we have then is a situation where by the early 13th century, the reconquest having been stalled in Spain, as we saw when the reinforcements came from North Africa, except for this newly expanded front of the war in Portugal, Pope Innocent III stirred the Spanish to renewed efforts. In 1212, the great battle of Las Navas de Tolosa was won by Castilian forces. In retrospect, we can see very clearly that 1212 marked a decisive turning point in the Reconquista. From then on, the military outcome of this war was never really in doubt. What was, of course, in doubt was how long it would take to complete the war. In fact, it lasted until 1492. But 1212 marks a real turning point. Now, what did Iberia look like at that moment? Well, first of all, off in the west, Portugal grew very much more slowly than Aragon and Castile did, in the center and east of the peninsula. Aragon became a major Mediterranean power with wide-ranging commercial interests, with interests in the Italian peninsula, as we'll see. A very important, a very interesting, a very rich region with its great city of Barcelona. Castile developed into a significant territorial monarchy. Castile pursued, in certain respects, the same kinds of historical developments that we noticed in England and in France, or perhaps we might say a sort of a blend of some of the trends that we noticed in those two regions. As the 13th century was drawing to a close, the open question in Iberia was what shape any final settlement might take. How would these territorial states relate to one another? How would they evolve internally? Well, we'll return to this, actually, in a later lecture, but what we may say now preliminarily is that the situation would not clarify before the end of the 15th century. But if the medieval period, then, if our high medieval period opens with small, autonomous Muslim regions dominating Spain, it ends, the High Middle Ages do, with three important Christian kingdoms clearly in the ascendant. Now, to go to another frontier region, Ireland. Ireland represents a very different kind of case indeed. We saw that in the very early medieval period, Ireland was made up of dozens and dozens, literally dozens and dozens, of little tiny kingdoms. Now, the Viking raids in Ireland were particularly disruptive. Interestingly enough, the Vikings, for example, founded a major base for conquest and piracy, in effect, in the island at Dublin. Dublin is a Norwegian city. It's not an Irish city, at least by origins. But the point is that the Viking raids were disruptive, and only very slowly did the Irish begin to form the notion that it might be useful to unite against this foreign foe. Late in the 10th century, Brian Boru, who ruled from 976 until 1014, began sort of rallying the Irish and began for the first time to exert some real influence over much of the island.